In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Betches Media presents Betches Moms, with hosts Aileen Drexler and Brittany Levine. Get ready to lock yourself in the bathroom or wherever else you hide from your kids, because you'll literally never be alone again.
Hello and welcome to the Betches Moms podcast. I'm Aileen.
I'm Brittany.
And it's just the two of us today, which is exciting.
I love these episodes. They're my favorite.
Yeah, they're awesome. You're right now in the office. I love your setup.
I'm in the office and I'm just like staring at my background because it's so fun.
It looks great. I, on the other hand, look like, I was just saying, I look like I emerged from a cave, or I've just been like, I mean, I've transported back into college and I've just been studying for 24 hours. I just pulled an all-nighter and I don't know what to do about these baby hairs coming out of my head. Like, look
at
them.
Let me tell you, they're literally little payas. I was getting ready this morning and I really want one of those things that like the rope that goes in your hair that makes it curly when you wake up, but I don't have one of them. So I was like, oh, I'm going to use a hair tie. And it didn't really work in my favor because I have these baby hairs. And it was just like, it was out of control. I didn't know what to do.
Can you just look at this?
You asked me not to video, but I think that I need to take a picture this to show everyone. I'm taking a picture.
What am I supposed to do with this?
I'm taking a picture.
It doesn't stay. I've just given in.
Birth souvenirs.
You're just gonna have to look at me like this. Well, anyway, what's going on, Brittany? How's life been? Last time we spoke, Oliver had a surgery. And
my house is so chaotic. We were home for like 2 weeks from the surgery, and then like we had a blip of like real life, and then we all got COVID. But you know what? We're better now. I got the worst of it and I am here to tell the story. But we're okay and that's all that matters. And I'm just glad that now I'm going to live my life for the next 90 days, I guess.
So did Jack have it too? He had it too.
Oliver got it, brought it home from school. Fever for 2 days, then he was fine. Jack got it, then he got croup, which scared me. I had never dealt with croup before. And then...
Wait, what was that like?
He was barking in the middle of the night. I was like, what is it? And I obviously didn't sleep. I was freaking out.
Oh my God. But and you were sick too.
And this was before I was sick, because I got this sick like the day after. But my doctors did a telehealth with me the next day. Gave us some medicine, helped him right away, and now he just has, you know, the residual off runny nose. But he's great now, thank God. But the croup is really scary. It sounds very, very scary. And so then I got sick. I was sick for like over 5 days, like a long time. And then Noah got it, but he didn't have any symptoms. Thank God, because I couldn't take care of the kids. So we both had it. I truly don't know what people do. I don't.
Right. I can't believe you got croup. That's scary.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad everyone's okay.
So what's been going on with you?
So stressful.
It was very stressful. Yeah.
That's stressful. What's going on with me? I don't know. We had Mother's Day.
It was your first Mother's Day.
It was my first Mother's Day. It was very nice. And I liked it. I said this on an episode with Sammy. I think it was back for a second, so no one, like, I guess for moms may have heard it, but it was like kind of great because I got to milk the first Mother's Day. You know, it was my first one. So it was like, yeah, everyone.
Yeah.
I'm the birthday bitch.
You know, it's really a birthday party for you. It is.
But not really because I hosted. So, and it was nice. And Mila's, it's just so cute and she's getting, like, her, like, you can sense that she's like understanding things.
Yeah.
And she just keeps waving at everybody and everything, like our plants and, you know, the kitchen. And she's just so fucking cute. And I just love this little baby. And it's so crazy. It's just so weird to be like celebrating Mother's Day and we're the adults.
We're the adults. I have a question. Do you feel like Mother's Day is like actually is better than your birthday? Like when are you like, no. Did you feel like very?
No, we had to celebrate with like every mom. It wasn't all about me.
Okay, you're right. But I literally felt like, and I kind of feel like this now, but like maybe especially on my first Mother's Day, I was like, I have this title and now we get to celebrate me on this day.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like it's Mother's Day and the gift that I get is more important than what you get me on my birthday. Like,
right.
Literally, like, I don't know. I felt like something about it, like, there was like a status to it.
It makes sense also because your birthday, okay, like, what did you do to get right. You just were born. You don't remember it.
Yeah. But
you remember what you did to birth your kid. So it's like a different, it's like your birthday too, really.
No, it really is.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm like curious how like everybody like feels about that. Like if they do feel, cause like when you're a kid, you're like, okay, it's Mother's Day. Love you, mom. But like now it's like, it really actually means something.
Okay. One thing about Mother's Day though, which was kind of funny because it came up with Rusty and I saw it on Instagram, saw the same thing on Instagram, which is Rusty was like, oh, and I'm like, isn't it weird? Like we're celebrating Mother's Day and it's like, you're the father. And he was like, yeah, I guess it's weird, but I guess I'm excited about Father's Day. I'll just like, you know, go do whatever I want. Have a great day. I'm like, do whatever you want. Like, what do you mean? Like, we're hosting a party here. What am I doing? I'm not doing whatever I want. And it was just like kind of funny. And I like brushed that off. But then I saw this post by Kristen Bell that was like, and it was so on topic. Hold on, let me find it because
I didn't see that one.
I obviously sent it to Rusty after that. It was, she said, my husband says there's such a double standard where dads go golf all day and go to dinner and moms are supposed to be served by the three-year-old all day and like watercolor with them. No, and then she went to golf. So she goes, no, I do a dad-style Mother's Day. And I was just like thinking, like forget golfing, whatever. But it's, that is interesting. Like me, I was thinking about why is that the way that it is. Do you feel like that's kind of,
I mean, no, because Noah's not really like that. I feel like he also doesn't golf. And I feel like if you're like right. a golf guy, you're like, oh, you're excuse to go golfing. Golf. Like you can't get mad at me for golfing today because it's like yeah. an entire day event. So because he's not a golfer, like I guess he doesn't have that thing that's like, I'm leaving for the day.
Yeah, right.
So I never really had to like deal with that. I mean, I guess this thing would be like, I'm going to go to the studio and like record some songs. But like, like that's like his getaway.
Yeah.
But like that. Yeah. So right. like, I don't know. I've never dealt with that.
But I was just thinking, because it's like with, I mean, maybe this is an overgeneralization, but the vibe around Father's Day is always like you sort of get away or you get a break with yeah. the mom is supposed to spend time with the kid and, you know, celebrate yeah. being this mother rather than like, I'm going to go fuck off. You have the kid.
Yeah.
And see you at night. Hope you yeah. put dinner on the table.
No, there's definitely a double standard. It's like Mother's Day. It's like, oh, we're getting all the mothers together and like we're all right. going to all do something together. Right. You're gonna play with the kids and like you're going to celebrate.
Get some flowers.
Like, okay, I love my family and they were so sweet and they were the best and they were awesome. But they woke me up at 7 o'clock to eat breakfast because they made me breakfast. And I was like, but I don't want to eat right now.
I hear. Yeah. That 7 is a bit early to, you know, start digesting.
When I'm trying to sleep in. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Oh, I can't sleep in. So I was laying in bed. I was like texting Rusty. I'm like, where are you?
What's Mila doing? I need a play-by-play. Why?
So I like tiptoed to the kitchen. I was like, hey, I'm ready.
Ready.
I was like, where's my copy? And he's like, okay. So I really went into straight diva mode, but it was fun. It was definitely fun. And yeah, the only stressful thing that I've been really dealing with lately is like I'm sort of mentioned in the last episode, but this whole allergy thing, man, I don't know what to do. She had a couple allergic reactions over the weekend.
Oh, no, really?
Nothing like too crazy. Like I gave her some Benadryl, but I don't know what they were from.
It wasn't the things that she's usually allergic to.
No, nobody was like, you know, feeding her eggs or like kissing her after eating eggs or peanuts the same. Like we weren't eating. Yeah. And I was like, oh, maybe it's the flowers from like, because we got a bunch of flowers for all the moms that we were having over in our family, not just like random moms. and maybe it was like environmental allergens, because really this is the first, you know, she's not a year yet. So this is the first like spring. So she's, you know, exposed, that was the word. So she's being like exposed to those types of like pollen during this time. This is her first time, right? So I don't know. Maybe it was that. I don't fucking know.
That's so interesting. But did anything else come up when you did the panel test that?
No.
All right. That's so strange. No. Right, did you call the doctor? Allergist?
Yeah. You know, I tend to always miss their phone calls. I usually don't miss any phone calls except the ones from the doctor. And they always call right before the office closed. So if you miss it by 1 minute, you call back and sorry, the office is closed. God damn it. This has happened like 3 times with 3 different doctors. And it's just so frustrating, but we're working on it.
Okay. Well, you seem like a lot more chill about it than you were. Like you've gotten used to the idea that like you have to deal with these allergies a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's like I have some answers and I'm very grateful that we found out about the allergies before experiencing an allergic, like a big allergic reaction where I didn't have any Benadryl or I didn't have anything. So that I'm happy about. We got an EpiPen to have just in case.
Oh, good.
And we'll take it day by day. But yeah, that's what's going on with me.
Step by step, you'll keep finding out answers. And it could it be that also she just has like, she's a little sensitive. Like maybe it's not like an allergy, it's like a sensitivity to something. Or was it
she's
like
such a sensitive girl. She's so sensitive. She's a delicate little flower. Skin. She's like a delicate. Yeah, but no, she had hives. it was definitely, and she was like scratching and it was really, I was upset, but it was okay. I just felt bad. It's really so uncomfortable. Yeah,
that's really sad.
Yeah, it sucks, but I'm hoping she grows out of it, hoping to get some answers, but thank you for saying I'm chill. That is the ultimate compliment.
Yeah, I mean, you do. You seem a lot more chill about it. You're just like, all right, well, I gave her some Benadryl. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, okay. Right. Oh. Yeah. But every time I think about it, I'm like, oh, Benadryl. And it says, do not give before 2. I'm like, well, then why am I giving it? But yeah, you obviously have to give it. So yeah, speaking of anxiety, I know you wanted to chat about like an update about, because we talked about anxiety in the past, postpartum anxiety. Yeah. And now that our kids are both, your youngest kid and my only kid is a little bit older, older. I know you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. So when we both were, I think still on maternity leave and we were having our first episodes back after having the babies, one of the biggest things that we were both talking about and experiencing was PPA and PPD and just things, you know, the struggles of what we were going through while breastfeeding. And, you know, we had specialists on and we were talking a lot about things that we could do to help ourselves, whether it was therapies or habits. And time has passed where I feel like we both have grown so much, especially you as a new mom, like doing amazing. And and just like, how are you feeling? Like, how do you, like, looking back at yourself when Mila was in that newborn stage, like, how do you feel about that person? And how do you feel now?
I mean, recently, did I talk about this on this show? I like cannot keep track of where I talk about anything. I had like a massive panic attack and it was over, like, it was a situation in which we were like in a park. And it wasn't because I was anxious about the park, but I was anxious about, like, I was with my mom and like whatever. It was a situation where I felt like uncomfortable, not because of like the environment, but because like I didn't, you know, sometimes I feel like moms think they know better just because, you know, they have more experience. And I just like had this like real intense panic attack. And
like moms think they know better. Like your mom knows better.
My mom knows sort of like better. And I just like it was, I'm not going to go into the specifics, but anyway, I recognized in that moment because it was like pretty significant. Like I like was seeing sparkles, you know, those like I was just like, oh my God, I need to get myself out of this situation. And I essentially like I was like, it was that like I was like, I know my kid. I need to get home by this time. We should be turning around. Mm-hmm. And you're not listening. They're like, no, let's go for another amount of time. I'm like, no, we need to go back now. Mm-hmm. And really, it was like a conflict of opinion.
Right.
And I was like, this isn't about opinion. This is like my kid. But, you know, it didn't, the communication didn't pan out perfectly. And my anxiety was like starting to, you know, it like heightens and it feeds itself and it starts to spiral. I ended up just like fast walking by myself back to the car with Mila.
Oh my God.
Like I got the most exercise I've gotten. Like my anxiety was fueling myself. And then my mom was like behind, like walking along to the car. And I was like, we're leaving. But again, like I'm making it seem funnier than it was because it was right. Not funny. And yeah, and in that moment I recognized, or the next day when I kind of digested what happened, I recognized that maybe I still feel a little bit, you know, anxious when it comes to certain scenarios with my kid and things like that. And I still have some postpartum anxiety and more. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, like, is this my new normal? Like, is this just going to be the way that it is? You have this like extension of yourself that lives outside of your body and you have to, you know, fight for right. their safety or their whatever, what you think is best for them. And I was just, you know, I wanted to ask you about that now that, you know, you brought it like up, like, is this the new normal or is it, do you think that sometimes it can be heightened in certain moments?
I think there are times and moments it could be heightened depending on like, what it is. I think especially in the first year, maybe 2 years, like when you've worked so hard for a sleep schedule and a feeding schedule and like someone is telling you like, oh, you're like being too strict or whatever, that's frustrating because you've worked really hard to like get to this point.
Yeah.
And like this schedule makes you feel better. So I feel like when it comes to things like that, like I definitely have like gotten over that part. I do think it's normal to still be anxious over that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think eventually something like that might like go away once like Mila's a little bit older. Like she's young. She's six months old. Like, you know, so that makes sense.
She's almost nine.
Oh my God. She's 9 months. Oh my God. Like where is time? Like
big, big baby.
Oh my God. I don't know why I still think Jack is 9 months old. Then he's gonna be.
I still think Jack, is like 3 months old. I don't even know. It's crazy.
It's so weird. But yeah, so like you're still within the first year. I think it's really normal to still have anxieties like that. And like, I can't say if it's like when it goes away or if it's normal for it to go away. I know from personal experience, like my anxiety never fully went away. There's just things that I care less about. But then like things happen, even like if I remember like getting into an argument with Noah, like, couple of months ago, we were walking in a really busy parking lot and he was walking with Oliver on the outside of him. So he was like you're always supposed to have the kid on like the inside, like where the parked cars are, not outside. And I'm like, Noah, could you please move Oliver to the other side of you? And he like, anytime something like this happens, he's like, you're being ridiculous. And I had a panic attack. I just envisioned, God forbid, knock on wood, like a car coming by. And I'm like, can't you just say okay and like bring him onto the other side of you? I don't understand why is this even a conversation? Just like bring him to the inside of you.
He knows it's safer. He knows.
Exactly. So like I like freaked out where like, and then I thought about that scenario after time passed and I was like, did I need to freak out like that? No.
Yeah.
But like your anxiety gets the best of you. And I do think that there are these moments where like, I guess it is like remnants of PPA or PPD where you're just like, you have intrusive thoughts and it's like, it grabs onto you. And I guess it is something you just live with. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely, I agree with you about like, it's hard to communicate when you have like sort of this like pressure bubble of anxiety coming, like I know I need to go make sure like this is the safest environment for my child, and it's something feels unsafe, and now like my spidey senses are mm-hmm. going like are starting to what happens with spidey, they tingle and like, and I'm
your literal spidey.
Yeah, I have spidey, like physical spidey senses coming out of my head with my hair, and you just like it starts to escalate. And you can't control the scenario.
Right.
And that's the I think that is the issue. And I have control issues. So like you asked what I'm doing, like have a therapist. It's great mm-hmm. to like talk through anything that happens or any like argument with anyone and to see like what was going on in that moment. I also feel like it's sort of, it makes me feel so much better to say out loud that like I still have lingering anxiety and maybe it may not go away. And I'm just learning how to just deal, like live,
yeah,
you know, help yeah. it go away, but like live with it, because what am I going to do? It's right. not going to go away.
You are your new version of yourself, essentially. Like you're not going to go back to just being like yeah. 100% like, oh, I don't care.
I was never chill though, so like.
So never mind.
Yeah, no, never mind. I had this crazy dream the other night, and that was, it was anxiety source of it. It was a dream, anxiety dream where I just like, you know, do you ever like wake up and you just have this like pit, your heart is in your stomach. Like something happened, mm-hmm. but the thing didn't exactly happen. You wake up before it happened. Mm-hmm. Like I used to have it when I was younger about my little brother. My brother's 10 years younger than me. So he was a baby. And maybe this is why I have such crazy anxiety about a kid. But I always felt like, you know, something's going to happen to him. And it's so out of my control because I'm not his mom, right? And my mom was great, has nothing to do with that. But I was right. just like my whole like out of control thing. And I would have dreams about like, I guess it's an intrusive dream where he was almost going to fall down the stairs. Mm-hmm. And I wake up before it happens and I'm just like, like that just awful feeling. And the right. other night I had that where I have this like little step that goes into my den. And my previous owners of the house like put marble floors in that tent. And I like covered it with a rug and I have a playmat, but there's an area that has some marble. And I like, you stepped one step down. And I had this dream where I just like fell and I was holding Mila. And like, right before we, whatever, right? Like, I'm not going to describe it, but you guys can fill in the blanks. And I just had that same feeling. And I was like, God, why? You know, it's so, and it like ruins your sleep. And so then I woke up, I was like, oh my God, do I have to cover this whole thing in mat? Like, I'm like, what? And then I'm like, oh, I need to call this baby proofer. And it was just a lot, but we are still chill, Brittany. We are still chill. We're still so chill.
Noah posted a thing on stories for Mother's Day and he was like, to the most chill, relaxed, laid back mom. He was obviously trying to be funny.
Yeah, I mean, I'm laughing. But there's a little bit of anxiety, like just like a tiny bit is very helpful. To be alert is very helpful.
Yes, I mean, we have anxiety for a reason.
It's a real emotion.
It's a safety mechanism that
we yeah.
are born. Like it makes sense. Like we're taking care of our kids and they don't know what's
right.
wrong or right. So like, but I guess it's just more us learning to live with it and recognizing these emotions and recognizing when it's happening and being able to acknowledge it and then separating ourselves from it.
Yeah.
The best that we could do.
I recently saw the Brené Brown, or I started watching this, her series on HBO Max. And she's like, talks about all the different emotions that like she defines what every emotion is. a human can experience. And she talks about worry and how worry is a, and so she's a researcher, right? So she researches these emotions and how worry is like one of the most useless human emotions. It does not help. It only causes anxiety. It does not like change whether the reality of what you're worrying about comes true or not.
Right.
It is just a complete waste of your like negative energy.
It's a waste. It's so true.
It's hard. It hurts you. It does not help you. Even though you think that you're helping yourself. Like you think that you're helping by worrying all the time about this happening or that happening. But ever since I saw that, I like go back to that. I'm like, this is not helping me at all. Like anytime I have like a super intrusive for, you know, shitty experience, like thinking about something bad that can happen, you know?
That is really helpful. One of the things that my therapist tells me is because I have like all these intrusive negative thoughts and I just think that if something bad will happen. Mm-hmm. And I was not always like this.
Me neither.
She was like, why are you putting that into the universe? Like, she's like, stop. She's like, you're putting bad energy into the universe. You're putting bad thoughts into the universe. Like, you don't stop talking about it. Stop thinking it. Like, you don't want this to happen. So why are you putting it out there? Stop putting it out there. And like, I always tell myself that now, like, if I think of something like horrible, I'm just like, I don't even want to put that out there. Like, I don't take it back. I take it back.
Redact.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the same thing. It's like why you're doing more harm than good by worrying. You're like manifesting something bad.
Exactly.
In a way. And that has helped totally. That's great that your therapist said that. How are you? Are you feeling better from, like, I know you also shared that you were struggling.
Yeah. I have my moments. I think I'm definitely feeling better. I think once I stopped breastfeeding, I like a couple of weeks later, I definitely felt so much better. I think that was like, it was really difficult for me this time around. And like, but I also think just like when you get to a point where for the most part, your kids are sleeping, you have a routine, you're able to get back into the groove of things. Like I recently started working out again. And this is only I want to say 2 months ago, I was at the point where I was like, I need to help. Like I need to do things. And that was when, I guess maybe it's been like 2 or 3 months that I've had a therapist. And then I started speaking with one of my friends who's she's a health coach. So she's been like helping me like figure out just like what the purpose of me wanting to like get healthy is and like what I need to be doing. So it's just about like making better life choices. And it's about, it's about losing weight, but not in this, but in the sense, because like, I don't feel good about myself. So it's like, it's also because like, I'm not eating the right things, but it's like, I feel like that's affecting me mental. Like I feel sluggish. So I just feel like everything is connected. And so that's why I was like, all right, time to start working out, time to start eating better, time to start prioritizing my sleep. And making those changes, I feel like in the past like 3 months, I definitely feel like a different person.
That's so great. It really does make such a difference when you like actively pursue doing the things that you feel like you have, you know, sort of put on the side burner.
Yeah.
You know, I interviewed this holistic psychiatrist on DST. And I've never spoken to a holistic psychiatrist. Usually psychiatrists are like, you know, meds. She's not anti-meds. She's just, let's, you know, treat symptoms as a whole before we go to that.
Right.
And the whole thing is about, her book is about anxiety and how treating it, you can try to treat anxiety. Like there's true anxiety and false anxiety she talks about. You guys can go listen to that interview. It's on DST. But I started reading the book and there's like a lot of things. It's about like the mind-gut connection too, like how your brain and your stomach or your gut, not just your stomach, but your gut, it's a two-way conversation. So sometimes if you're So we already know that, like, if you feel anxiety in your head, you feel it physically in your stomach, right? Like a lot of people talk about it. It's like in your, it's like you're, you just feel it there.
Yeah.
But she was saying that, like, sometimes whatever's going on in your gut, even though your brain's not thinking I'm anxious, whatever's going in your gut might be signaling to your body or your brain that, like, oh, we are in a state of anxiety because of what's going on, whether whatever you're eating or the way in which you're eating, like things like that. So I started incorporating tiny little things from there, like even just, you know, regulating sugar, like throughout my day, not making sure that, you know, if I eat something with sugar, like there's, it's not just on its own. So there's no spike. And that's like kind of really helped stabilizing my mood. And like working on and eating like less like inflammatory things, that's also helped my mood. And really trying to learn about like be a little bit more thoughtful about where I am in my cycle, menstrual cycle, and like, you know, not eating in reaction to that, but like being mindful of where I am. Therefore, I might feel X today. I might feel Y today. And like just kind of being more mindful of that. And that's really helped me kind of like know myself better and manage my anxiety from like a physical standpoint rather than like, right. Oh, I have a lot going on. It's a mental illness. It's really like, oh, but there's some physical things that I can do to help. And obviously working out really helps.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, it's just, it's so weird to like.
It's so, I could talk about this forever. Like, I find it so interesting because like, I agree. Just like all these things like really do affect you. And the more you want to help yourself and you learn about these things, and it's just, it really all makes so much sense.
My friend just, she had a baby. She has like a, maybe a 4-year-old, 5-year-old. Can't remember. But she just had a baby and she was about to have a baby, like a couple weeks ago. She was like really just ready to have this kid about to pop out. And I like sort of put myself in her shoes and I was just like, I can't believe you're going to have to do the newborn thing again. And she's like, I know. I'm like, I can't. Like, she's like, I just can't believe I'm about to do this again. And I like transported myself back to those, like, you know, the first 3 months. I'm like, holy, that was like a time.
What would you tell yourself knowing what you know now and like feeling how you feel?
Great question. You know, it gets better.
And I think that's what I told you.
It gets better. And you really won't think about the breastfeeding thing. The other day, someone asked me, are you still breastfeeding? And I like laughed in their face. I was like, God, no. That's hilarious. Like, you know, I can't. And then I was like, people still I'm like, I can't believe that. That's amazing.
Amazing. And I'm amazing. And I have friends that done it for 2 years and I can't believe it, but they're like, they're fine with it. I have friends that have done it up to a year and like, I respect everybody that breastfeeds for that long, like so much, yes. So much.
Total respect. What would you say to yourself?
I don't know. Like, I feel like it like goes back to like the breastfeeding thing. And I think I put
a lot of pressure,
but like also not a lot of pressure because it was just, I knew it was just something that I wanted to do. So it's not like I forced myself. I just really wanted to do it.
Yeah.
But I think I would just tell myself like, you're not saving lives. Like, this is not like, just stop. Like, you're not.
Right.
You're going to be okay. Jack's going to be okay. Like, and I also, I guess, a little bit of guilt because I did it so much longer with Oliver and like,
right.
You won't know the difference. I think I would just like talk myself out of that and just let myself know that like, you know, to not let the anxiety get the best of you and to remember that sleeping gets easier, which like, I guess I did at the time tell myself, I guess it's a little bit different the second time around because I was able to tell myself some of these things because I was on the other side. But I think just like, it would be more about like having myself let go of the
breastfeeding. Right. There's no right way to do certain things. Like, you know, you kind of have to go with the flow. I think that would be the advice I would give to myself. I would say like, stop trying to like hijack whatever's happening, like just try to go with the flow. You don't, anytime you push your kid to do X, Y, Z, it backfires and you're good. So that said though, I like was looking in the mirror the other day and I was like, oh wow, I miss being pregnant.
Here comes baby number two.
Announcement. No, I'm just kidding. Let me get a faux pas. But yeah, if so, anybody listening has like, I think that's a great question. Like, what would you tell yourself for the first time? Or tell, because I'm sure we have so many listeners listening who are about to have a kid. We're like scaring the shit out of them.
I know.
It's great.
No, it is. It's an amazing time. Take it all in. Like, I look at pictures. I was like crying the other day looking at pictures of both Jack and Oliver just when they're newborns. Like, they just are such cuddly little balls. And like, yes, it could be stressful because it's new, but it's the best. It's
just, right.
It's really the best.
Right. Like I said, I miss being pregnant. So it's not even just missing like the act of just being pregnant, but just having this like even though I'm like saying, holy shit, I can't believe my friend is about to do this.
Yeah.
Like I still would do it again.
Yeah.
So like that's, I think that says enough.
It says that, like, think about like how many people, I think it was Sarah Merrill posted it because she just had her baby. She ended up having a C-section, big kid problems. And she wrote on her stories, she's like, I just couldn't believe like how many people like do this over and over again. She was like, but then they put the baby on my chest and I understood why people do it over and over again.
Yeah.
It's amazing. There's no other feeling.
There's really no other feeling. It's crazy. We're like programmed to do. We don't want to get into this again.
Yeah, and yeah. We don't need to get into it. We're like now, like.
Should we do a segment? We have a good momster to talk about.
Yeah, we do. Let's do that.
Dear Brittany and Aileen, thank you for creating the Betches Moms podcast. I'm a new mom, and it's nice to listen and relate to many of the episodes. Here's my momster scenario. My six-month-old daughter has recently started trying solid foods. My husband has tried feeding her sparkling apple juice, a small hard pretzel, and soft-serve ice cream, all of which were a hard no for me. I just don't feel like six-month-old babies need sugar or small hard objects that they could choke on. In these situations, I say, please don't feed her that. And he usually protests. And then I say, well, let's check in with our pediatrician and see what she says. I don't want to get in the way of my husband and my daughter's relationship. And I know each parent will do things differently. But am I wrong for holding this hard boundary? Am I a momster? Thanks in advance for your thoughts. Brittany, is she a momster?
Absolutely not. I'm in the background being like, what, a hard pretzel?
Yeah, small.
No,
small hard.
Small
pretzel.
Hard pretzel. No, absolutely not.
6 month. I mean, generally they say no, like added sugars, right? Yeah. Like no sugar, no salt. Other spices are good, especially at 6 months when they're still really. It's really early. Sparkling apple juice. I just. Why sparkling?
They're celebrating.
Yeah, you're not a momster, but I think that her reaction was actually very good in that, like, let's check in with the pediatrician.
I thought the same thing. I think you had the perfect response instead of like flipping out, just like, let's talk to the doctor, put that on hold for a second.
Right. If this were you, what would you do? Like, what's the unhealthy communication that you would do? Because I'm only thinking of all of those.
Okay, if that were me, this is not the correct way of doing things. I'd be like, what are you doing? Like, absolutely not. Get that away from my child. Like, these are the things that I would say to my husband, and it would be a blowout fight.
Yeah, I would be like, what the are you feeding her?
Yeah.
And then I would go and find articles and just send them all to him in Instagram things from like experts. And yeah, it would just not be the right way. But I would, I think like you need to have a business meeting. You need to talk to your pediatrician, then have a parent business meeting where you talk about what each of you want and discuss very maturely, respecting each other's boundaries, what's best for the kid, not for you.
That's great advice. And I also think that like you, I don't think you're getting in the way of their relationship. I think you could say, I understand you want to like share these fun treats yes. with her, but you'll have your whole life to share like really awesome, amazing food. And right now, unfortunately, she's eating like this stuff, or not even necessarily yeah. unfortunately, because she could eat really good food, just not with sugar or
yeah.
or anything that's hard that she could choke on.
Yeah, that's great advice. I've had a scenario actually with Rusty about like something, he was doing something that I did not agree with, because I was like, I've done so much research about like how you're really not supposed to like energize the kid before bed. But then I like really stepped into his shoes. I was like, this is his bonding time with her after work. Like this is when he sees her. He doesn't get to work from home like me, and I get to see her throughout the day in little pieces. So I was like, the empathy part is really the key, actually. The way that you said it was, you say like, I understand like this is your opportunity to bond. It must be so hard that you get only these tiny little windows. Maybe there's like a different approach that you can take. But like, I've just read that it's going to hurt both of our sleep at night, because, you know, she's going to be waking up. Like they say, if, you know, it increases wakes, and you know, me and you, we're struggling with that. Although Mila's been sleeping, knock on wood, not a peep, knock on wood, knock on wood right now. But yeah, I think that's the leading with empathy is always the best way. We also have a mom guilt today from a listener.
Oh, not one of us.
Not one of us. Brittany, do you want to read this one?
Sure. Hey, Betches Moms. I was listening to your podcast on a plane to Miami by myself and figured I'd send in my no mom guilt moment. A few weeks ago, my husband had COVID. Apparently, in some work of magic, my son, who's 8 months old, and I did not get it. That said, we still kept him out of daycare for the week, and I watched him while working for 6 days. By day three, I was losing it, so I booked myself 3 days in Miami, and I feel absolutely no mom guilt about it. I may have cried last night while packing because I'm going to miss my son so much. I cried as I read him his books last night, as I got irrationally worried that something would happen on my trip, and that would be my last bedtime. I checked the NANET after boarding my flight, but all that said, I feel no guilt for taking this trip for myself. Here's to a few days of naps, reading by the beach, and tasty food alone. Sincerely, Vacation Betch Mom. So jealous.
So jealous.
For like two reasons. Like, A, I'm jealous that you're going on a no-kid vacation, and B, that you're able to do that by yourself, because like, I don't think I could do that. I think that's amazing.
I would have so much guilt. Like, I would not, I need to give this woman an applause.
Yeah.
Like, this is great. I can relate to that, like, last night kind of feeling. Like, that's,
same.
You know, you have all the worst possible scenarios in your head, mm-hmm. and you're testing yourself for guilt.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, you did it.
It's actually interesting. You're saying you're testing yourself for guilt. That's a really interesting way of
putting
that.
your other side, you know, if you want to say, like, you have this little guilt character sitting on one shoulder, mm-hmm. it's testing you. It's like, oh, what if this is it? You know, why do you have to go on this vacation for yourself? You don't really need to go. Like, it's really just testing you. This is the what if, God forbid, something happens. Like, it's really just like that bitch on your shoulder.
Yeah.
Like, just you felt the emotions, but you still went. And that's amazing.
You deserve that. Being home with a kid while working is a special type of hell. And I feel guilty saying that because I love being with my kids. But like, working with kids, that is really tough. And you deserve this trip. And that's amazing that you don't have guilt about it. You shouldn't have guilt about it, because you deserve it.
Yeah, you really do. Well, I hope your husband's okay, and enjoy vacation. I want to go so bad, but I guess summer's here. And yes, you guys can send in your no mom guilt, your momster submissions. I love the momsters. You can send in your Dear Betches Moms. We didn't read one today, but We just didn't have time. Submit them to moms@betches.com. You can also DM them to @betchesmoms. And that's it for this episode of Betches Moms Podcast. Guys, if you love this show, please leave us a 5-star review. It makes a world, like, we just love it. We love to read your reviews. We love to know that you're liking this show, that it's just making a difference in some way, whether that's, you know, a little bit of an escape or just feeling like, you know, you can relate. I like to read them. So please take a second and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast and just hit the subscribe button or hit the follow button on Apple and Spotify and go follow Betches Moms on Instagram. You can follow me @Aileen. And remember, there are no rules on this podcast. I'm not like a regular mom.
I'm a cool mom, right, Regina?
Please stop talking.
The Betches Moms podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong. Social media by Brittany Levine. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow us at Betches Moms on Instagram and send us your emails to moms@betches.com.
Betches.